When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 193. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Michael Kaplinski.
You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplan at Kaplan America. Also, this show is at Lost in America Pod. Download, subscribe, tell your friends. Hey, guess what? Subscribe to our Patreon page. Why not? Kaplan and I put four extra episodes out a week. It's just us going through life in quarantine. But on the podcast today, Cap, we have Misha Kalin rejoining us from Belarus. We had him on a couple of months ago, something like that. And normally we don't have guests back on this often, but we stick with the news. We follow the news cycle, right? Yeah. That's slaves to the news cycle. And listen, the country's in chaos right now. I mean, meaning Belarus.
People might not know that. You don't mean our country. There's other countries in the world and they have more chaos than we have.
There's other countries in the world. You can stop right there. A lot of Americans don't even know that part.
Yeah. Start with that.
So that country's in chaos. All these people check CNN. I know we got a lot of CNN viewers who listen to us. If you're on your website, go to CNN, click the little world button. That'll tell you what else is going on out there.
That's the secret cheat code to know there's another country out there.
Like a genius. That's all you need to do. Go to the world, check the headlines, and then go to a cocktail party and tell people what's going on. So Misha Kalin's with us. His country is in chaos right now. The president, they just had an election. The president won again. Unsurprisingly, when you control the votes, you usually tend to win. It's a pretty good setup.
That's just your opinion. I don't know. He might have been fairly square. He got 80% of the vote, right?
He only got 80%.
Right. So that tells me it's a real democracy because if dictators get 99%. That's the rule. The dictators, it's like they teach you that in dictating school, dictating 101.
All right. Well, 97. Misha's here. So why don't we ask him?
Let's ask.
Jesus Christ. Dude, you've got like a whole morning radio vibe going on. I'm loving it, dude. That's awesome.
It really feels good. Once you have this microphone, if you're not viewing us on YouTube right now, you should be. But if you're listening, I have a mic set up. I got a little podcast studio in my apartment. I want to give traffic and weather updates as I do this.
We should do that, actually. Nice. Good idea.
Every 15 minutes.
I'll look out the window. I tell you, it's all clear right now, guys, on Second Street. I can tell.
So how's it going, Misha?
All right. Well, since we started with the number of votes, see, the thing is that this is his sixth term or something. He's been in power for 26 years, right?
Wow, he must be good.
It's a complex, it's a nuanced thing, right? So just to break down the numbers, it was always a majority, but not, you can tweak the numbers to, make it look a little better, but you can't add like 30 percentage points or something crazy like that, So let's say in 2015, he was quite popular, actually. And even if they gave him like 15 extra percent or 10 extra percent, maybe, but there was still like a solid base of a solid electoral base that he was basically capitalizing on.
And what did he get in 2015? What was his...
It was high. It was something around 85, something like that. Okay. He always keeps it around like 85. One time they gave him like 94 and it was like, whoa, guys, that's too much. Too much.
Misha, we were saying this the other day. We were saying that if you cheat on a test, he would be a good test cheater in high school.
Yeah.
Because you never get 100. You always have to get a few wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You never get 100.
So that happened. Okay. Keep going.
Well, what happened this election year? Basically, you remember when we talked about coronavirus and his interpretation of it and his denial of it and sort of this absurd view of the pandemic and everything. So that kind of triggered. First of all, people started asking more and more questions, and they were seeing that the TV says one thing And, you know, people around you say a different thing on people on kind of there was a huge switch in the last 5 years, right, from the TV to the Internet. So that changed a lot because our national TV became just a propaganda machine, like, you know. And so that was a big thing, that people were kind of listening to their peers and getting independent news sources to tell them sort of how things are. And so even though 5 years ago, Lukashenko kind of was still pretty popular and had a lot of support, this year you see that he's lost a lot of his support because people open their eyes. And also, there's a lot of young people. It says your internet connection is unstable. Yeah, by the way, my internet connection it's fine
now.
We
can hear you. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah. Internet was blocked for 3 days or so, and we just got it back this morning. So
that's part of why we're doing this now. And we just set this up with you about an hour ago. We wanted to rush it out just in case your internet dies again. So he's blocked. But sorry, keep going. You're giving us a lot of good background, a lot of good history on this. And let's just say that I'll just jump in for a second. And then his views on the coronavirus, which we talked about, go back and listen to the episode from a few months ago. But he said that it can be cured by vodka and saunas.
Vodka and saunas. Right?
Yeah.
And
he was playing hockey. And a correspondent asked him after a hockey match. They were like, hey, aren't you, she asked something about coronavirus. And he said, hey, look, where do you see it flying around? Like he literally was acting like Corona.
So you're saying that's when people started to think maybe this guy's not a genius. Yeah.
Well, dude, honestly, his gaffe rate is way higher than George W. back in the day. And, way higher than Trump. So,
pretty
crazy. Yeah. It's I know it's unbelievable. One time he said that Elon Musk gave him a Tesla. Like he just says shit like that, man. Yeah, it's crazy, man.
So did he? So here's a question, because this feels like it's a country where the votes are a lot oftentimes rigged, but they do vote. Like, do you vote or do people vote?
I voted this time for the first time because before it just didn't matter. Well, first of all, I lived in China and everything. But honestly, it just did not matter. You felt for years that, you know, your vote is just disregarded or, you know, it's all rigged, basically. But this time around, basically what happened was we had actually a few decent candidates. They were both of them, two of the ones that had a chance of winning, they put him in prison. And so the wife of one guy basically ran instead of her husband. And that drew a lot of popular support because that one lady and two of her and two wives of other candidates, they kind of joined forces and ran like a really intelligent campaign and really, just drew people. They would just go to different towns and they would tell their story, and it was really, really compelling. You know, their message was very compelling and it resonated with a lot of people.
And why didn't they just put them in prison then? They put the husbands in and then they're going to run.
I think
he didn't take them seriously as women, or you just thought, no.
Yeah, exactly. So this is sort of the, I guess, the benefit of limited brain sort of patriarchal men, you know. I mean, they just like, oh, just he actually said something like, he was like, oh, she's never gonna be a good president because it's so fucking hard that I can barely do it, you know. How is this?
Even a man could barely do it.
Yeah, even a man can barely do it.
You know, did they have giant glass ceilings set up so that when one of them won, they were gonna crash through it like Hillary was gonna?
Yeah, but basically her message was that she didn't want to be a president, right? Oh. She was running instead of her husband. But she said, as soon as I'm the president, I will ensure that we have legitimate elections. And so anybody can run. And, people can have...
Was she going to free her husband from jail? Is that what her first mission I would think she'd do? No.
Probably not. Yeah, she was definitely going to do that.
So her basic platform was just, we're not going to be a dictatorship anymore.
It's a good platform.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
pretty good.
I'd have to hear how she feels about Israel before I endorse her on that. But no.
But see, and that's exactly what's going on right now, because there is no political field. I know more about American politics than Belarusian politics, right? Because there was never any competition, and you just have to take people's word for it, right? So there's no history of their actions, and there's just basically nothing
we know. So she had not done anything. Even her, was her husband, was he a politician? Was he a senator?
No, he's a blogger, and he's actually, as far as I've heard, he's kind of an asshole, you know? and the other
blogger.
Guy.
Yeah. And was the other guy?
The other guy, he was like a rich businessman from like Russian Gazprom bank. Oh, yeah. He's like a big Russian bank. So also, you can't trust any of these guys.
So his wife, was his wife kind of hot though, at least? I'm assuming the Russian oil guy.
Actually, I don't know. hey, that's a sexist question. Come on. Was that a trick question?
I tried to trick you up there.
That was a gotcha question. Gotcha. Traffic on the 405 right now. It's bumper to bumper out there. Now back to Misha. She seemed to be gaining steam then. People were going to vote for her. In previous elections, have they arrested up people who run against this guy?
All the time, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So why run against? I mean, like, does everyone just kind of know I'm going to run against him and I'm going to get arrested? I'll be in jail
kinda
for a while?
Asking for it, if you ask me.
Yeah, at some point, people just stop caring. Like, enough is enough, you know? And also, I mean, imagine people who were born in the year 2000, they're 20 years old, and this is the first time they can vote. And there's a lot of young people around, and they have nothing to do with that Soviet world that I'm still a part of that generation, you know? Yeah. And, you know, those guys, they haven't been scared. And honestly, I think that plays a big part. And also, like, the older generation, if you look at the life expectancy in Belarus, it's 10 years lower than, other countries in Europe. So that, you know what I mean? So we have sort of like a turnover of people that's happened just in the last 5 years. Because, 5 years ago, these kids were 15, they couldn't vote. And now a lot of more of them can vote. Meanwhile, all these old folks are dying off. And
so this is kind of their first rigged election that they
right. You always remember your first rigged election.
Yeah.
Right. And honestly, they haven't been scared. You know, they are the kind of stuff that's going on the streets right now. People are getting taken in by these riot police, this sort of space.
So basically just to, jumping ahead for a second, but it sounds like they had the election.
Yeah. What were the results? Let's break this down.
80%. He won 80%.
Essentially, we were in complete darkness. Internet was off. It got turned off on August 9th, and we just got it back this morning.
When was election day, though? August.
August 9th.
Oh, on August. On election day, they turned the electricity off.
Exactly. Well, not electricity.
Turn the internet off. Yeah. Internet.
Yeah.
Go dark.
And so we didn't really know much. You kind of get bits and pieces that you have to put it together. So, but even early on, people were saying that all the independent observers, when they checked the exit polls and just like other data, would say that it's just impossible that he got like 80+ percent.
And her name is Svetlana. That's the one who was the one people were.
Yep.
And what did they say she got? Like 15%, 10%?
Like, yeah, less than 15, like 13.
Okay, so the internet goes off 3 days ago, when the night of the election. And then when do you guys find out that he won?
Basically, on that day.
He was in the newspaper, or how'd you know?
But those are, sort of like official announcements. There was one news portal that was still kind of working intermittently. But yeah, you couldn't get exact information.
Okay, so you find out he wins. And then when did the protest? Because then what the news, the international news, is that everyone goes out into the street and protests, right?
Yeah, it basically happened right on election day. See, I had to travel to my hometown to vote. And so I was coming back on August 9th that evening. And around, I arrived in Minsk, where I live now, basically in the evening around 10, 11 p.m. And I was making my way home. I couldn't take the subway because like it was blocked off. So I had to walk from the train station and the roads were blocked off, but it was safe to walk around. The following day and last night, it was unsafe to walk out onto the street.
Why was it unsafe?
Because they have different strategies. The riot police and all the like the forces, let's call them forces, the forces of evil. I don't know, because it's a mix of army, like National Guard equivalent in the States, and then like KGB type guys, and then you know, the riot police and SWAT and all those people, right? And so, you know, if 2 days ago they were just battling, sort of using all the machinery and stuff, breaking up the barricades and everything, they would actually go head to head with the groups of protesters. And then last night they were mainly just picking off people from who were just random people.
I mean, shooting honestly, them or arresting them, or when you say picking off?
Just arresting them. There were some that were using rubber bullets, but I also heard they used live ammo in some cities as well, and using like flash grenades and all that shit. I've seen flashes all over the place. Tear gas. Yeah, there was a cloud of tear gas. There's like a mall area, shopping mall area that's not far from me. And there was a cloud of tear gas that was coming our way and everything. Like people are, you know, you get like irritation, even if you're really far away, like a mile away or so.
And so, and you said they're also just arresting random people walking down the street?
Yeah, just breaking into cars, just stopping a car on the street, just breaking. Yeah, they're absurd videos of...
Are they people who are like involved in like organizers, or they're just doing it to scare scare people?
I have no idea what their tactics are, because they're kind of contradictory. Because it doesn't seem like scaring people now is effective, because people are just getting more and more angry.
I mean, maybe that's the idea. If you start just saying we'll arrest anyone, then you're trying to, then everyone will go back inside. You know, it's an evil tactic, but maybe
it's
that's
too late for that.
Maybe
that's the thing. That's the thing, that Belarus was historically considered as sort of this nation of more or less timid and quiet people. You know, that's kind of the reputation. Compare with Ukraine, for instance. They had, you know, like the protests in 2014. And they started having protests in like 2006. That's when they had the Orange Revolution. Yeah. But honestly, the problem is, if you look at their... protests and what happened, what the outcome was, right? They would just have like one president over, like after another, that were just terrible presidents. And yeah. So our argument was, hey, we're kind of going at a steady rate, but at least it's not this roller coaster, but people are generally happy. And honestly, that's the sort of the idea that I got. You know, I mean, I was living in China this whole time, right? But like, as an outsider, I would look at how people are living in Belarus. And the idea I got from about year 2006 to, you know, 2017 or something, that people are generally quite happy, you know? So they like this sort of
steady,
but mediocre, but it's okay. It's not too bad, but hey, you know, it's right. At least we're not at war.
It's predictable, right? Yeah. Predictable.
Not winning titles, but you're, you know, 500 team, you know.
Right, exactly.
But maybe
but finally people are fed up.
Yeah.
You know?
Are you sure, though, the Belarus that your president's not trying to finally force the coronavirus, get everyone inside, taking it seriously? No?
I doubt it.
You can make that argument. Get off the streets, people, finally.
So what happened to, because I read that the opposition, is it Svetlana? That's the name. She.
Well, yeah, that's her first name. But
Svetlana, okay. Name, oh, yeah, go ahead.
How do you pronounce her last name?
Tikhanovskaya.
Yeah.
Tikhanovskaya. She was detained for a few hours?
Right. Yeah. And then,
right around the election time? Is that right?
Right after the election, she was detained for like 7 hours, and then she published a video where she is not making eye contact, and she was like quite charismatic and everything. But in this case, she's not making eye contact, and she's completely, you can tell that something had happened, you know?
Like a hostage video?
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. Or like, they basically threaten that they're going to, like, kill her. She's got two kids.
Oh, my God. What did she say in the video? That she accepts the results, or is that the type of thing?
Well, yeah. She said that the people have spoken. The language is kind of vague. She says, like, the people have spoken, and let's not escalate the violence, blah, blah, blah. You know, something along those lines.
Yeah. And then she fled the country, right?
Right, yeah. She was forced to flee. See, the thing is, the current president, you know, Lukashenko, he's got blood on his hands from back in the 90s, where it was easier to get rid of people. And so that's his predicament right now. He can't really stay in the country. So if shit hits the fan, he basically doesn't really have a lot of options, you know. He can flee, just like Ukrainian president, in 2014, you know, and just kind of be in exile for the rest of his life, right?
Yeah.
Or he can go the Gaddafi route, you know, so he doesn't
That's
have
not a,
lot
a fun
of...
route.
Yeah, exactly.
But he has I guess he sounds like he has the military or the KGB type guys are support him at this moment, because without them, he can't.
Right. But honestly, I'm not, I don't know what they support. It's almost like they have some kind of like, this is my theory. Can I swear or like be graphic?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. So it's like an organization where they just like fucked each other in the ass and they just have to keep quiet about it.
Right.
They're
in it together.
They're in it together.
They can all rat each other out about the fucking
exactly.
They did
they've done something terrible like that to each right. other, and it's just this common secret that they share.
He's gonna take Lindsay, people down,
like yeah. Lindsey Graham, Kaplan.
Oh, yeah. You said that. I didn't.
Donald Trump. So yeah. Okay. So it's this thing, and is he supported by Russia? I can't remember.
Well, we have a complicated relationship. I mean, we're very close with Russia, and Putin was basically they have a shaky relationship, because the way our economy functions, we produce jack shit, you know, or the kind of shit that we produce is just it's outdated and nobody uses it, you know.
Right.
So all our like we make those tractors, they're they probably use the same technology that they did like 75 years ago. So all we have is a small IT outsourcing sector, where basically we have clients from Europe and United States give us the, you know, the specs, and we build software for them. And the rest of it is essentially cheap oil from Russia that we then resell to other countries.
Okay.
So Russian oil.
Yeah. So every year they negotiate oil prices with Putin, and sometimes we get a good deal, sometimes not so much. And Putin recently amended the constitution. Have you heard about that?
Of Russia?
I don't know.
Or your Russia. Yeah. To get rid of term limits or let him, is that what it is?
Exactly. Yeah. Because our guy did that back in 96.
I mean, that's the number one thing. That's the other thing you do when you're a dictator to be. You change the constitution.
Of course.
So that you get, yeah, that's 101. So you can stay in office. I mean, come on. I can't believe Putin waited so long.
But exactly. And that was his mistake, because he should have done it a long time ago.
But the first time he went out of office, he just had like a puppet. That Dmitry, what was it, right? So that's the other move you can do. But you got to be Putin, have Putin's level of control.
But there's a third way. There's a third way. If you don't want to amend the constitution, you can also have a deal with Lukashenko and have one country. So this was kind of like Putin's plan B, to invite Belarus to be a part of sort of like a Commonwealth.
So you'd vote together?
Get the gang back together.
Yeah, get the gang back together.
Put the Rus back in Belarus. Yeah.
Exactly. But Lukashenko was like, hey, what am I going to be, like a mayor or some shit? Or, you know.
He wants to be president. So what would that accomplish for Putin if we brought back Belarus?
Just kind of starts over. It's like a start over. He can become... Basically,
oh, he can be president of a new country.
Right, right,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
cool. I see, I see.
Trump has to steal that idea from Putin.
Wait, what would it be called then, you know? Belarus? Right.
Bella extra Rus.
Extra yeah. Rus.
Yeah.
It's like a state. So they've so because basically right now he's giving you oil and then you just sell it. I don't even understand how that works, but it's not a...
So...
Essentially, yeah. Or like, you know, like, honestly,
you guys are a middleman.
Yeah. You're a middleman. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Clean it up. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if Lukashenko, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, if he does get ousted, if do you see any world where he goes away, where the protesters win? Or is this like a thing where the protesters have no chance? They're just waiting to get steamrolled by the military.
I mean, this is where stuff gets interesting because nobody really knows. And it's one of these, if you look historically, if you look at Ceausescu in Romania and like other regimes there, and even the Soviet regime itself, you know, it's basically a few weeks ago, people are just walking and just doing all their daily sort of routine stuff, and they believe in that nothing's ever gonna change. And then in a couple of weeks, boom, it's unpredictable.
Yeah,
and the way things are going on now, I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, look at the videos. We haven't had that type of intensity and how people are devoted to the cause. And listen, they're willing to go out there and like basically use all means necessary. It's kind of scary too. I mean, it's scary to go outside. People, I mean, so far, I think we have like three casualties, as in like dead people, you know, and lots of wounded, like tens, basically like 50 on the civilian side. And then, you know, I don't know what the numbers are for cops and everything, but I mean, it's getting up there and there's no end in sight because people are just going to keep coming out because he's the usurper at this point. You know, he's lost the election and now he has to admit it. And as long as he, dude, and the official media just says crazy stuff. You know, his official statements are something like, oh, people who are going out into the streets, they're just drug users and they have criminal record. He lives in a fantasy world, you know? I think it's almost like he's never seen the internet and people, you know, kind of give him a printout of what's going on in the world. And
yeah.
They go like, everything's great. Yeah. Honest, everything is great. But
the emperor wears little clothes, like, as they say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what?
But the protests are going on all over the country? It's not just
all over the country. All over the country. Every single city.
Yeah.
And in some cities, you know, they start the protesters start talking to the cops, and the cops just lay down their arms and leave.
In
smaller cities. Yeah. Well, that's why I think just today I got the news that they're getting like reinforcements from Russia, and Russia does it all the time in their like regions. You know, Russia's got a bunch of regions, right? So they would just get troops or whatever, right? Cops from other regions, so they don't feel emotionally attached.
Yeah,
and they just
right. Yeah, they do that here. We got a bit of that here when the National Guard flies into Portland or whatever.
The feds come in and make people disappear. But
so if there are towns where the police are laying down their guns, though, that's bad news for the president because
that's
the people you need, right?
Yeah, and we have more and more people sort of retiring or leaving the force. Because their current actions are just unjustifiable. You know, the shit that they do, man, they're use way too much brutality, just excessive force all over the place. They just arrest innocent people, and they don't ask questions as if they have like quotas or something, you know. It's completely random. There's just no logic to it. And honestly, it's like, one day they're battling the, you know, the large groups. The next day they're picking off people who are walking their dog or something. You know, there's a video of a guy getting shot in the hand, right through the hand, and he's just walking his dog. It's insane, man. Whoa.
And is there any chance? I mean, I think I know the answer to this, but is there any chance that police or whoever's shooting this guy walking his dog, any chance those people are going to get in trouble, or it's 0%? Right.
Only when the you know, the president changes, all these people will have to go to some kind of Nuremberg trials or something. You know?
Yeah, it's
I don't turn. I don't think the Belarus soccer players are allowed to put like things in their jerseys protesting what's going on. I don't think that's
dog walkers' lives matter. It's not happening.
It's not. Yeah.
So what about you?
Did you win any money by the
way? Oh yeah, I've been holding off on coming. I lost all three bets. I lost $180 thanks to your Belarus.
Well, wait, he also bet on the wrong team.
I did bet on the wrong team. Yeah, I did get that wrong. So that was
he picked the wrong Minsk.
The wrong Minsk. I got the wrong Minsk.
Oh.
Yeah, the other Minsk won. So I don't know which. Do you got any tips coming up this week? Before are they not playing games? Are they playing? With everything going on, are they playing?
You really got a gambling addiction.
So I want really to win. I want to win back that money, but you know, I'm trying to think who's the most affected. Like, who are the government's favorite players? They'll probably fix the games for them now.
Nah, man, I'm out. You're gonna into your kids' college fund. And stuff.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
Misha, what about so this lady whose her husband's in prison, and the presidential candidate, she's in Romania. Is that where she is? Or Lithuania, maybe?
Lithuania, yeah.
Lithuania. And for her, she can only come back now if this guy's gone, right? What's the plan there? Like, if she comes back,
yeah, she's gonna go on an awakening tour of Europe. It's like a sounds like a movie. Like, her husband's gone, she got rid of him.
Oh, it's like Eat, Pray, Love.
Exactly. She can really find out who she is now.
Yeah.
Mostly praying on that.
Yes. But what is her option? She doesn't. You never hear from her again.
Or it'll be like Eat, Pray, Hunger Strike, something like that. I mean, that's an interesting question. I hadn't thought about that because, yeah, you're right. I mean, it'd be hard for her to come back anytime soon, you know.
And so this guy, I assume if there's any chance, if this guy does go down, which honestly doesn't seem that likely, but I'm not on the inside. You're the one on the inside. You know the temperature of what's going on. Then Russia would be his option. He could flee to Russia, most likely.
Yeah, just like the Ukrainian president Yanukovych. That's what he had to do.
He's got a house full of these guys. They all hang out and
They're just
real world
show. Real world dictator edition.
Former dictator. Challenge.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean,
like a development deal or something.
Yeah, we can pitch that. Get him on a challenge.
Real world Moscow.
Give him some weekly challenges.
And then we can have, what's his name could be in there too, the American guy that escaped to Russia.
Snowden?
Snowden, yeah. Put Snowden on the show.
He can be the guy who
he can be the host, maybe.
Gives him all the he can be the host.
He gets some challenges.
He can be like the Joe Rogan.
TJ Lavin. Joe Rogan.
Challenge. You guys are gonna work at a coffee shop.
No, I thought it was, well, you guys get to fix an election, but like using some sort of, you know, try to build up to be better.
Get 7 dictators, see if they can run a Starbucks.
Secret boss.
They've run 7 countries, but
can they run one Starbucks?
Yeah,
can't get the name right on the
too many dictators in the kitchen.
That's the name right there. Too many dictators in the kitchen. Copyright that right now.
That's everybody perfect, wants man. To work the stand. Nobody wants to be on the mocha machine.
They're all important jobs.
That's the issue. So what about you, Misha?
What are you going to do? Can you do comedy during this? Or
Is the family going to stay? Or what?
Not this week. I've quit my IT career and I started doing stand-up full time.
Nice.
And I'm starting the English speaking open mic. I was supposed to have the first show next week. Let's see if that comes to fruition. But so that's kind of my goal, just to keep. I was on stage at least once a day or once or twice a day. I have a couple of paid gigs, and already this month I have a few paid gigs. Dude, right after the coronavirus thing, we started getting really nice packed rooms and everything. I know
really?
It sounds
because everyone went to the sauna and drank some vodka. I mean, no wonder why they voted 80% for this guy. He solved it. But didn't he get coronavirus? The president?
Yeah. He said he was asymptomatic and he just handled it like a champion.
That's good to hear.
So it is, I guess, yes. First of all, so you don't feel like you're in danger, you need to leave the country, anything like that?
I mean, at this point, everybody's in danger. So you're just as in danger as anybody else. Like, this is why I'm so open about it. Like, a few years ago, I probably wouldn't be as, I wouldn't say that he's got blood on his hands, but now everybody's saying it. I don't even give a shit anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
If they put me in prison, fuck it. You know what I mean? Right. I'll just go to prison. Honestly, my best friend got 5 days in prison just recently. He just got out recently for nothing. Yeah, he's like the nicest guy in the world. He's he's an anesthesiologist and just a young medical professional. Went to a protest that was unsanctioned or some shit. They keep switching up the rules. So it's just like these manipulations. They would say like, oh, you didn't fill out this thing or whatever. And now it's all bullshit anyway. And they just arrested him and gave him 5 days in Soviet style prison. I'm telling you, like, it's no fun. Like, it's the conditions there are brutal, man. It's not what
I can imagine.
Yeah. It's really, and the people, the way they treat you, man, like all these like cops and all these KGB guys or whatever, like there's a word in Russian for it, but I don't know how, like the general word for it. But it's like they have a dead stare in their eyes, you know. It's a weird feeling. Like you try to find the person and appeal to their sort of humanness, right? But they're just as if they were just dead inside,
like deprogrammed.
Yeah, it's like they're zombies in a way. Like,
well, that could be part of the training. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, right? That's how.
Yeah, it's something like that, man. Like, it's terrifying, honestly. I've seen the inside of one of these cells. I was held for 5 hours. It was a long story. I've been, I've been battling with alcoholism for a while. And so I was like on a 5-day bender. And on a Thursday, I was just like, I can't drink anymore. I'm going to fucking die, you know. I couldn't stomach alcohol. And I just went across the street because there's like one of the biggest hospitals in Minsk. And I was just like, I just went to the first office and was like, dude, I can't stop drinking. And they just, they called the cops and they put me in a cell.
Voluntarily?
No. Honestly, they told me I was going to stay there for 24 hours, which would have killed me because I had the, the anxiety. I thought I was going to die, dude.
Oh my gosh.
They let me out that evening, and I just called my ex-wife, who's basically my best friend, and she called the doctor. The doctor just came and just right at home or on the couch just gave me a drip and gave me some sedatives, and I was out for 24 hours, and then I was back to normal. They could have just done that, but instead, you see what I'm saying? Like how people's mind works.
So you got arrested for being drunk?
Well, not really arrested, but and I wasn't drunk. I was just like experiencing withdrawals from alcohol, right? And but they don't have the mentality of like, oh, this guy needs help. You know, let's give him, you send him to a center or something. Oh, call that same guy who came to my house. Apparently I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Right. But
well, you walked into a hospital.
Right.
They have doctors in the hospital.
That's what I thought, you know, and it was kind of, it was kind of an impulsive move on my part. But basically what I've witnessed inside those walls, I mean, you sleep on a bed that's just, it's soaked in piss as if like it smells bad. And it's like, it's the shittiest. I would imagine that's the kind of prisons they have in China or like North Korea, you know, like it's really fucked up. So and they would have they would have like a whole row of rooms vacant and during coronavirus, and they would put every motherfucker they would bring in, they would put in my cell.
Oh God.
Those guys turned out pretty cool. So I'm not like complaining. You know?
Those cool are your guys. Boys now?
Your butt.
Well, they just fell asleep and they, because I was just pacing back and forth and I was just slamming on the thing because I didn't know what else to do. Like,
yeah, they didn't give you a mask or anything. Was it during coronavirus?
No, are you kidding me? No way, dude. And I asked for water. They just gave me like a plastic bottle. Like if you know, it's been like refilled and everything. Like, I don't know where that water came from or anything.
Oh my God,
you know?
During corona.
But that's all you could do. Just drink and go out like once an hour or so, or once every 2 hours to go piss, you know?
So
yeah, it's crazy, man.
What about now? What's your life looking like now? You told us you don't want to go. You're scared. You live right in the middle of the city, so you don't want to go outside. Are you running out to get groceries and coming back, or what's going on?
Yeah, and I had to like, honestly, I just go out. Oh, yesterday I walked out just to check it out, and I was walking by our comedy club, and a bunch of comics caught up with me, and they were on a mission, dude. They had like cars and everything. One of the guys was wearing like one of those. It's not like a bulletproof vest, but it's one of those vests that bikers are wearing, you know what I mean, for protection.
Yeah, it's like padded.
Yeah, but it was under his clothing, so it looked like a bulletproof vest, like a Kevlar. And like everybody's wearing masks, flags, and all that shit. And but the home base was the comedy club. They had a carton of cigarettes, water, and everything.
Oh, no. All right, yeah, well. Yeah.
That's how Hopefully. You do a set in the park, Turner. We're a bulletproof vest. And
I know, yeah.
Dude, yeah, yeah.
In case those Rangers come, you know, in New York. Shut you down.
I stayed at the club because, you know, I was scared because I didn't know half of the people there. Because, listen, I don't know. Like, I'm against the status quo, but I'm not on this, you know, I'm not on the side of violence.
Well, you want to live, you want to survive. Right?
You're not a radical.
Right. Right. And I'm also, you know, a skeptic because I've seen what happened in Ukraine and I've seen what happened in other countries, post-Soviet countries that tried the democracy experiment, you know? I mean, in Georgia, they've accomplished a few things when they had Saakashvili come to, he's quite an effective manager. So he's turned a few things around, you know, but it's also a complicated story. So I've seen it. There are some successful examples where a new effective manager comes in. He just disembowels the corrupt regime, you know, and just kind of see, the thing is Belarus, in economic terms, it's basically clean slate. You just kind of start over. You don't even have to fucking reform anything. You know, you just kind of build shit, you know,
like you don't have to tear it down to the ground and build it back up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's already halfway there.
Yeah, and that was my my whole deal. Like you and I, we've lived in Suzhou, and we've seen the way Suzhou just flourished as a city, right?
Totally. I mean, yeah, from the early mid 2004, yeah, 2005, yeah, up to 2015.
Yeah, so people were making the same kind of money in 2006 when I moved to Suzhou. People were saying, like, why are you even moving to China? You know, I mean, you can make the same money here. And I was like, eh, you know, it's a different country, blah, blah, blah. And then taxi drivers were probably making the same money as bankers in Belarus over time.
Yeah, seven years later.
5 years later, right. Like in 2017 or something, you have taxi drivers with four phones on their deck and everything. Yeah. And if before they were saying, hey, how much you making? 5,000 kwai, you know, in 2006 to 2007, then they would be saying like, how much you making? 20,000 kwai? Because, you know, their standards, quadrupled easily. And you see like middle class thriving there. Four subway lines in 4 years. All these giant buildings and everything. Lots of job opportunities. I mean, I've worked at a software company. I've seen companies pop up, projects coming in. I mean,
totally.
So I know it's possible, you know, so why can't we do it here, you know?
Well, what about, this is maybe the last question, I don't know, we'll see, but what, because there's talk now internationally of sanctions,
right,
against Belarus.
Well, not sanctions, but, you know, I'm kind of at a loss. Why the fuck isn't Europe responding to this? And yeah, or the U.S.
Investigate, what do they call it? Election supervisors, or they send
not really. Just the response has been tepid. They should put, you know, strict conditions and say like, hey, if you don't do this, you're fucked. You know. So
yeah,
they
well, it
know.
Seems like who was it? Was it the W? I forget what organization. I was just reading that someone's talking about putting sanctions. Cap, do you know who I'm talking about?
I'm thinking no. I don't know.
Oh, okay, good. Anyway, what do you think, sanctions help or hurt in this situation? And
I'm not sure if sanctions, but there needs to be some response so that the current people in power know that that there are going to be consequences.
Right. Because you guys don't, I mean, what would be the problem with sanctions almost is like you could sanction like a country like Iran.
It hurts people too, you know?
Who have like a giant industry, but you don't have like a specific, you're talking about IT, you can't sanction that. And it's not
like. Well, exactly. Yeah. That would just.
Oil, you're getting it from Russia. So the Russia's not going to agree to the sanctions. So I don't even know what they could do.
Okay. Sorry. It's the EU. The European Union is talking of sanctioning Belarus.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know what specifically though. I don't even think they do though.
I mean, the EU.
Restrict. It's not like the travel isn't restricted already. You know, I mean, there's a number of things that they can do. Freeze the assets of the oligarchs and everything. Yeah. Shit like that, you know. I mean, there's a number of things that can be done. I mean, I said oligarchs, but I mean like more like the
business
ruling elite. We don't really have oligarchs. It's more sort of centralized. I'm not an expert there, but there needs to be a response. We need support from the EU because I feel like the people are vulnerable right now, you know. And I mean, honestly, I'm hopeful, but it's tough, and really, it can go either way at this point. And it's kind of it's crazy times, man.
It's crazy. Well, I just read. Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea to go outside because they said in what I just read when I was trying to look up the EU, it said in Minsk, 5,000 people have been arrested on the streets so far in the last couple of days.
Yeah, exactly.
5,000.
Yep. Wow. And after 6, it gets dangerous. Like after 6 p.m., it starts to get dangerous.
Really?
But so you guys you're not members of the European Union, though, right? It's just you mean they would say they're outside.
That's one of the huge points. We're kind of drifting. See, it's always been either the EU or Russia,
right?
And that's why and Lukashenko has been using it as leverage from the early days, and but now if at some point we were kind of on the way or there was a possibility of us to become a EU member, that was a long time ago. Now
that was
even
a while ago.
Ship sailed.
It could be if ship the this could be something that. Could this be a situation where the EU backs the
Svetlana,
who just left, and maybe she comes back in with the whole EU military? I mean, is this
the EU military is where you lost you there?
Yeah, well, you know what I'm talking about.
Who's coming in?
Yeah, you're right. All right, there's not much. Them versus Russia is not much of a fight. Well, I guess hopefully not. You don't want it to be a battleground.
You should join up with England and then the anti-EU.
Let's end with something positive.
Yeah.
The comedy seems to be going well.
I mean, it stopped this week basically, but I've been thinking about moving to Kiev. Kiev is a really fruitful grounds for comedy. There's a lot of things going on, and I've been building connections. I mean, Minsk has been amazing. Honestly, in the last couple of years, I mean, it's growing. People are starting new. I mean, there's just a nice group of comics now who are able to go out and start new mics, new shows. We're doing showcases, different cities. Dude, it's thriving. It's like, remember the golden KFK days? I'm loving the poster.
The poster,
in the background. Yeah. So this is kind of where we're at right now, you know? We're in this 5 to 7 year period since it's all been incepted.
That's the best, man. That's the best.
Mics.
Yep.
Well, that's great. So now you're doing it English. I mean, you've always been doing it in English, but you're doing it English and Russian.
Yep, exactly.
And that's going to allow you to travel wherever, right?
Yeah, or like bring people over. I want to make, just kind of what Andy and you were doing in Suzhou and Shanghai, just kind of have this network of people coming in, do shows, and have our guys travel. There's like some of our guys have already performed in Berlin, Prague, Warsaw. So there's things are moving, man. It's clicking, man.
That's awesome.
And you should get to Kiev because we don't have any correspondence there, I don't think. So, you know, check back in.
You can be our Minsk and Kiev correspondent.
Yeah, I'll be your Eastern Europe foreign correspondent.
There we go. Yeah. Misha Kalin, thank you so much, man.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming back on. And on an instant notice, by the way, in a 1 hour notice, we got you back on.
That's this new pod. Hey. We just, something happens in the world. We go to our, you go to your Rolodex, Turner Sparks Rolodex. There it is.
Boom. You go right away, especially while the internet works.
While the internet works. Squeeze them in before they shut it back down.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. Stay safe. We will talk to you soon. Kaplan. Is there,
yeah. Is there any way to follow him at? Or
oh, yeah. You, sorry. How do people follow you?
Just, add it in the, I'll send you my Instagram and my YouTube info. Just
it'll be in the notes of this episode.
In the liner notes. All right. Excellent.
Awesome. In the liner notes. Misha Kalin, thank you so much.
Good
seeing you, man. Stay safe.
Be safe.
All right. All right.
Kaplan, what should we do? I was going to ask, should we get to the news or is this a show? I think we're done.
That's a lot of news, I feel like.
I think we just did an hour of news. I think that's the podcast. I think it's time to get lost. What do you think?
Sure. If let's check the traffic one more time. Looks clear in Long Island City.
How's the weather today?
It's sunny out. Chance of rain this afternoon, guys. So I would advise everyone in the New York area, bring an umbrella or a raincoat to be safe.
But most importantly,
get lost.
Get lost.